From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 29th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis has the highest rate of syphilis infections in the state. Cases of congenital syphilis among newborn babies are rising, too.
We're noticing that folks are less likely to access prenatal care. And if we catch syphilis, then we can treat it and reverse any of the impacts that babies might suffer.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum speaks with Suzanne Alexander of the St. Louis Department of Health about how local officials hope to reduce the STD's impact. That's coming up on The Gateway. Police arrested more than 100 protesters Saturday night after a pro-Palestinian march at Washington University. Protesters want the university to cut ties with Boeing, which sells weapons to Israel.
Stop the killing! Stop the slaughter!
Gaza must have food and water!
Gaza must have food and water!
Students and other activists called for an end to the war in Gaza and for WashU to respect student voices. WashU junior Max Franks criticized university leaders for their response to the march and prior arrests at another protest.
The fact that it has happened before proves that the administration is not really interested in listening to student voices about any of these concerns. The administration is interested in protecting its image and its bottom line.
But WashU sophomore Charlie Weingarten, who's in two Jewish organizations and watched the protests, said police needed to be on campus.
I don't agree with some of the tactics that they used. But the presence and being there and the university shutting this down and making it very clear that behavior like this would not be allowed on our campus, I think was incredibly important.
WashU officials say they respect freedom of expression, but the protesters violated campus policy by setting up an encampment. The university has temporarily suspended all students who were involved. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators also gathered over the weekend at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Two organizers were arrested Friday at the encampment in the heart of that campus. Organizers say they'll stay in the encampment until the university agrees to their demands, which include divestment from weapon manufacturers and disclosing all financial assets. The small Metro East town of Venice will see some big changes in the next couple of years thanks to a broad economic revitalization plan. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the project includes a community grocery store, school, and medical clinic as anchors.
Like many towns on the Mississippi River, Venice has lost population and wealth since the 1960s. Former Edwardsville school superintendent Ed Hightower has been part of a group working to reverse that trend. He's hoping the slew of projects in the heart of the city can help it grow and thrive.
These are the essential things that you would say that people need in order to survive. And these are things that low-income communities are struggling with every day.
The first projects are scheduled to start construction later this fall and finish at the end of 2025. They're being partially funded by state grants. A second phase will include 40 affordable homes, a childcare facility, and a career training center. In Venice, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new report from researchers at the University of Illinois at Chicago says providing health coverage to undocumented immigrants would boost the state's economy. The report found five main benefits to providing health care to immigrants, including lowering unemployment. Dr. Matthew Wilson is the lead researcher on the report.
There's a lot of research that suggests that when people do have coverage, they're much more proactive in preventing some of those avoidable hospital admissions. So people are far more likely to get routine checkups and do things like visit the dentist when they have coverage.
The reports come less than 2 months after Illinois announced it was tightening eligibility requirements for immigrant health care coverage. More people experiencing domestic violence in Missouri and Illinois are reaching out for help through various hotlines. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley reports.
The number of adults and children requesting and receiving shelter due to domestic violence appears to be increasing in Missouri and Illinois. Victim advocates say the higher numbers likely mean more people are aware of how to seek help. Matthew Huffman is with the Missouri Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence.
We were seeing an increase in safety planning on hotline calls during the pandemic because survivors had to shelter in place. Now I think what we're seeing is survivors knowing what resources are available to them and then seeking out those services.
Domestic violence hotlines can receive nearly 13 calls every minute, according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis has the highest rate of syphilis cases per capita of any county in Missouri. In 2022, the year with the latest data available, St. Louis reported nearly 600 cases of the bacterial infection. Officials have also seen an increase in syphilis and HIV co-infection and congenital syphilis in newborns. Suzanne Alexander is the St. Louis Department of Health Communicable Disease Bureau Chief. She spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum about why rising rates of the disease are so alarming.
The reason we're so concerned about this is because it can linger in a person and be undetectable for any number of years. And it can be transmitted vertically, which means to a pregnant person's unborn fetus, child, baby.
Mm-hmm. We've also heard a lot about congenital syphilis. Are those cases also rising along with cases in adults?
Yeah, they are. And part of it is because we're noticing that folks are less likely to access prenatal care. And if we catch syphilis, then we can treat it and reverse any of the impacts that babies might suffer from being born with congenital syphilis. We can prevent that from happening. We've seen any number of health systems leave the city and move out to the suburbs. For folks who do not have ready transportation or who are working during the times that clinics are open, it is difficult for them to have that care. And unfortunately, it does impact primarily people of color.
And so that leads to the other question, which is, what can the city do to fill those gaps? And what are you doing to fill those gaps?
Here in the city, we are looking at best practices. We're researching best practices to find out what are ways in which other communities have addressed syphilis successfully. Is it a matter of getting the information to the pregnant person? Can we provide support in other ways? Please let us know. And then we'd really love to talk with people who've experienced pregnancy and syphilis at the same time, people who are currently pregnant, people who are worried about being pregnant and contracting an STI. We'd love to get their stories, because the important thing is to remember, these are not data points, these are people.
I saw syphilis rates really pick up around the start of the pandemic, and I'm wondering if there is a connection there. Were public health departments and just so focused on the coronavirus that this was able to kind of boom?
It's a perfect storm of convergence. We were doing our best to comply with the restrictions, and we, as a public health agency, did not actually have our screening clinic open. We know that that impacted a lot of community-based organizations that were doing testing for STIs. As people were becoming more and more frustrated on the outside in the community, we had people who were getting exhausted on the inside. And so we lost people. We had a large endeavor to focus on, and we also didn't have a way to provide testing or treatment to individuals who were still having intimate encounters. I'm glad that we have the opportunity now to focus on this, because it has always been with us.
That was St. Louis Department of Health Communicable Disease Chief Suzanne Alexander speaking to St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum. Our David Cazares edited that piece. St. Louis Public Radio is a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and this has been The Gateway.